Good morning and welcome to What's Happening, Marion. Matt, did you know this microphone was on the whole time?
I did not.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad I came down on the right side of that conversation.
Oh, well, so you all got an inside look at what goes on during the breaks here. It's good to be back. Missed you folks last week. I had some things going on and I wasn't able to be here, but I'm back today and it's good to be here. And Matt's in studio, and Scott, I don't know if he's in studio or out of studio, but
if you want.
You're always welcome here. You don't have to stay, but you're always welcome.
I don't know if people want a live studio audience or not.
Sure, why not?
Sure.
So anyway, we're gonna get the rundown on, and actually, I'm gonna run down these events of what's happening, Marion, and then this will be a good time for us to have that discussion about the solar eclipse.
I think we already had it, but we can have it again.
Oh, you've already had.
No, we had it on the air, I think. Oh,
well, yeah, yes, I guess you folks probably did hear about that discussion Scott and I were having. Yes. All right. So, what's happening, Marion? Today, Friday, last Friday of the month, there is a free community meal at Shining Light Baptist Church, 6 o'clock. And Shining Light Baptist Church is at the Point, the triangle of Church and Mount Vernon. Dine in or carry out. Also today, tomorrow, and Sunday is the movie The Color Purple at the Marion Palace Theater, a story of love and resilience based on the novel and the Broadway musical. The Color Purple is a decades-spanning tale of one woman's journey to independence. I believe that was, I believe Oprah Winfrey was in that movie. Was she?
Yeah.
Who's
the male? He's a famous actor.
I can't tell you.
Danny Glover.
All right. Anyway, so at the Marion Palace Theater, The Color Purple, you can see it tonight at 7:30, tomorrow at 2, and that's at 2 only. There is no evening showing. And then Sunday at 2 and 7:30. It is $5 to see it, $3 if you're a Palace member. Saturday, tomorrow, January 27th, is the Victory Center Drive-Through Food Pantry at 1190 East Fairgrounds Drive, Fairgrounds Boulevard?
Street.
It is from 10 until noon. This, by the way, is rescheduled from last weekend due to the bad weather. They do have the drive-through food pantry the third Saturday of every month. Monday at the Marion Public Library is Lap Sit Baby Time at 10 in the morning. It is for babies 0 to 24 months, and they do singing, rhyming, finger plays, and books. Also on Monday at the Palace Theater, and this is every Monday through the end of February, it is Line Dancing with Kirk at 7:30. Step up your line dancing with classes, and they are for beginners as well as seasoned dancers. You'll learn a variety of line dancing steps and routines. Come and join the fun. $10 per session. That's Monday night. On Tuesday, we have story time at the Harding Presidential Museum from at 10 a.m. Story time is with Miss Kathy. And story time is every Tuesday at the Harding Presidential Museum now through May. Tuesday, we have Teen Dungeons and Dragons at the Marion Public Library at 3:15. And you can experience the whole Dungeons and Dragons experience. And it's available to all skill levels. Whether you're just a beginner, you want to learn, or if you've been playing a long time, you're all welcome. Also Tuesday at the Marion Public Library is a program, Preserving Paper, Archival Practices for the Home. It's from 5:30 to 6:30. Do you have old photographs, books, heirloom, or documents that you want to preserve and pass on to your children or grandchildren? Learn about archival preservation and what you can do to protect your family's collection. That's this Tuesday. This is one that I would encourage all people to take advantage of. I'm not going to give my opinion one way or the other, but I think it behooves everybody to be informed. There is a solar farm community forum being held at the Pleasant Senior Center at 1036 Owens Road West. Obviously, this is about a proposed solar farm that's going to be in Pleasant Township, but it affects all people in Marion County. From 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock Tuesday night, learn about the proposed project and the hearing that has been set from April 29th, or for April 29th. And this will be the last public forum that's going to be held before the public hearing. So you can come and hear about the project and how it will affect your community. No opinions mentioned.
Well, you know, I think that's interesting.
Yes.
I do. I think you said that exactly right, because I think so many times we don't go to events that don't directly affect us at the moment.
Right.
But I think you should be informed.
Right.
I think solar, whether you like it or don't like it, it's certainly going to be more prevalent than it is right now.
I think, yeah, it doesn't matter, as you say, whether you like it or don't like it. Most people are not aware of how many of these solar farms have already been built and are being built and are being proposed to build in Central Ohio and Southern Ohio. We have several, and it's the hot topic right now. And, you know, 10 years ago it was wind farms. And they're pretty much done building wind farms in Ohio. And while we're talking about it, I see more and more resistance to the solar farms that are being built. And so, you should at least get informed about it, regardless of which way you feel about it. Wednesday night, January 31st, Woodpecker's Wonders Hike, being held at the Tallgrass Trail at 4:30. Come and see James Anderson. Take a stroll with James and learn more about the woodpeckers that call Marion home. Also on Wednesday, January 31st, is a winter seed sowing project at the Marion Public Library from 5:30 to 6:30. Want to start your own garden plants from seeds? Here is a fun and easy way to get started and not have to worry about it. Let the spring weather and your gallon milk jug greenhouse take care of protecting your seeds. Bring a non-colored milk jug and seeds if you have them. If you don't, some milk jugs and seeds will be provided. Thursdays at the Marion Public Library, they have story time. It lasts for a half hour and they have two sessions, one at 10 and one at 11. Bring your preschool and younger children for, again, songs and rhymes and activities and stories. Okay. Thursday, February 1st, is the Solar Eclipse Awareness Community Meeting. It's being held at 3 p.m. at the Guthrie Community Room in Maynard Hall at the Marion Campus, OSU. Guest speaker is Sarah McNamee, who is the director for the Marion County Emergency Management Association, or I guess it's authority, Emergency Management Authority. And a couple of her quotes are that the solar eclipse, which is occurring in April, could see a high influx of visitors. She's quoted elsewhere as tens of thousands to the Marion area. And she's quoted as saying, extreme traffic and stresses to local infrastructure are expected. So you can go Thursday at 3 o'clock to Marion OSU campus and attend the community meeting and, again, become informed. More on that later. Thursday, also, teen scene at the Marion Public Library, 3:15 to 5. Need something to do after school? Join us for homework help, crafts, and more. Each session of Teen Scene on Thursdays will have a themed activity or craft, and then there will also be discussion time. All right, so that's what's happening in Marion the next week or so. So avail yourself of any of those things. And I kind of thought for the rest of the time we would have a little round table discussion here about the upcoming solar eclipse, because quite honestly, I'm seeing it everywhere I go. Not the eclipse, but I'm seeing the advertising for it. So let me just run down some of the things that I have seen recently. First of all, as you know, we have the community meeting this coming week where the management, the emergency management people are going to tell us how the hordes and hordes of people that are going to descend upon Marion, Ohio, and stress out our infrastructure. Let's see. You can buy today, by the way, today from 11:30 to 2:30, you can go over to the LaRue Community Center and you can get your Ohio Eclipse t-shirt for $15. And it's a nice yellow t-shirt, and it says, I was in the path of totality.
Oh.
So that's the little key word that you're going to hear from now to April. Because it's a total eclipse of the sun, you were in the path of totality. I mentioned previously about what's going on at Lawrence Art Orchards on Smeltzer Road. They're opening up on April 8th for the eclipse. They're going to open up their parking lot, so you've got a place to park. There's going to be a food truck there. There's going to be yard games, adult-size yard games for Connect Four, Cornhole, Yard, Jenga, and Volleyball. In the pavilion, they'll have their TV on with YouTube clips. They're going to have t-shirts that you can buy, and they're going to have NASA-approved sunglasses. Also, too, Caledonia is going to be selling approved sunglasses for $2, and they promise on their website that there are going to be community activities planned for that day. Richmond, Indiana. I was traveling to Indianapolis on Wednesday, and I stopped at a rest stop on the freeway in Richmond, Indiana. And these are the ODOT, the state-owned rest stops. And you know, you go inside and they have the map on the wall, and they have a showcase, all the things that are going on. And in their showcase, it was all about the eclipse that's coming and how their county was the best place to view it, and they got all these activities. And so I personally feel that this is a big money making opportunity for people, and it's really a big deal about nothing, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, there are two things I have to say about this. Number one, I've been to Caledonia for events like this, and good luck with that. And let's hope it doesn't rain that day. And number two, although I love them, you know, there was a little thing there at Christmas time. Number two, I think I need to get a vendor's license before April and sell $5 eclipse dogs. Because because I think it's time to do that.
There you go. So, Scott, let me ask you. Are we here at the station? It's Monday, April the 8th. Are we here at the station? Are we going to have a big solar eclipse party?
Well, I think we have to, because you'll always know where you were when this happened. We're going to have to do it's like, what, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yep.
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, so we'll have to do it. We'll have to tell people what they're seeing or not seeing. We can do that. We can, because I think it's important that we turn it into an event like Groundhog Day, you know?
Right.
Now, what animal can we get that you shouldn't use? You know, we can drag one of those in here, and then we can start a whole controversy before Eclipse Day.
Well, I think maybe we should get an eel, because eels don't have eyes, so they're used to being in the darkness. So we could have this eel here, and then when at that moment of a total eclipse, when it's, quote, dark out, we would experience what the eel lives through every day.
Once in a lifetime.
Once in a lifetime.
Once in a lifetime.
Matt, what do you think?
And have yourself an eclipse dog.
That's.
We can deliver them that day. We'll deliver them. Come here, and or we'll send somebody out.
There you go.
We'll DoorDash it for you.
I've never been in the path of a total solar eclipse, but I remember the solar eclipse that happened. I don't remember how long. I was in like eighth grade, something like that. But like. I remember that nobody really cared. It was happening while we were leaving school, and everybody was like, I'm not standing out here to watch this. I'm getting on the bus. I'm leaving.
There we go.
Now we'll hear what you said.
Ah!
Try that again.
All right. So.
You know what I was just thinking, though, before we get back to that? Because I've already heard it once. I don't want to interrupt the replay for everybody out there. When you left that mic on during the break, really, it was in front of Pastor Craig's face. What we said might have been blurred over here. So what he had to say, that's why I started laughing when the show started there. Because I thought, really, we might have been in the clear on that one, because we were not in front of a live mic. You were. Yeah.
So won't have to worry about anything that was said on the air.
No, musical chairs. It's all about where the seat is.
Let me go ahead and say what you said again, Matt. Now that we have your mic turned on.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So in like eighth grade, we had like a partial solar eclipse when I was in school. It took place like while we were leaving school, basically. Like if you looked up, you would see it. But like the majority of people who were there that day did not even bother. They were just like, I'm not looking at that. I'm getting on the bus. I want to go home.
Well, you know, the thing that amazes me about this, okay, so this, the eclipse, you're going to be able to watch it from Texas to Maine, you know, because it goes across the United States. So it's occurring, traveling across the United States, from Texas to Maine. What I don't understand is if we're going to get tens of thousands of people in Marion, Ohio, Are they really expecting millions of people to view this thing from Texas to Maine?
Why is it a thing? I mean, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, why is this even a thing? Why isn't it just an adjunct to your day, like a harvest moon? I mean, what is it?
I don't know. That's the same question that I have.
I don't quite understand it. It's very confused. Why is it like, take the day off work, close the schools, run? Are you really going to keep a T-shirt or a program or a picture of this forever? I mean, what is this?
That's the thing. So you buy this, you buy the glasses and you buy a T-shirt and you go and you experience it, and then tomorrow is another day.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess even events. I mean, I understand wanting to, like, okay, let's say, for example, let's say the Super Bowl was going to be in Detroit. Okay, I can see why a great number of people would look forward to that and buy tickets, and they would always remember doing it. That'd be a story you would tell years for. I went to that clip, the Super Bowl, that was great, and the blah, 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 played the blah, 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 and here we are. What is this? What is the story?
That's a good question, because I don't know.
I mean, it's like watching grass grow. I mean, what? I don't understand it.
You know, the first time I ever heard about this was about a year ago. And someone made a comment to me that they had been talking to this director of the emergency management thing. And
that I should be really aware of it because the Marion was going to need, you know, dozens and dozens of portable toilets for all these thousands of people coming. This was like the first mention of it that I had ever heard. And I literally had no idea what this person was talking about as they're telling me this.
Well, now that I think about it, what we really need to do is broadcast from somewhere and set up some portable toilets and charge.
There you go.
Charge by, you know, don't just rent them out that day. Charge per person.
Right.
Because those people are going to have to go to the bathroom.
Well, we've got a big parking lot behind the studio.
There we go. Let's just set them up out here. And well, I mean, we'll be fair with people. What, $2?
Yeah, I think that's
fair. Yeah, $2 every time you go in and out.
Right.
So if you're drinking a lot,
there you go.
Don't load up on the water.
Or you could buy a punch ticket for $10, and that would give you 8 visits into the portable toilets.
And an eclipse dog.
There you go.
It's going to be eclipse day here at WGH Talk.
It's setting up the business.
Although we need to get Buckeye Guy here that day, and when it happens, he can go, unbelievable.
You know, what's interesting about all this, so the first I'd ever heard about it was, you know, from someone who had been talking to the EMA director. What I want to know is, why do they think it's going to be such a big event? What information did they have? I mean, it's the last total eclipse in Ohio, I saw it was like 1844 or something, okay? Well, nobody is around today that remembers that. So there's not like somebody going, hey, you know, we have thousands of people in town, you know. So what's making them think that we're going to be deluged with people?
I think it's just everybody talking about it. Like at the city council meeting, I think Bill Collins, even like that towards the end of the city council meeting, was like, oh yeah, by the way, everybody was talking about how Marion's going to be so busy during the solar eclipse and how all the hotels are sold out. And he was like, I've called the hotels. They've got plenty of rooms.
It was even mentioned at the city council meeting?
Well, somebody asked him, I believe. I think that's how that went.
Yeah. Somebody asked him how the city was planning on preparing for the solar eclipse. And then Bill Collins was like, it's not going to be that big of a...
Nothing else going on in the city to talk about. Let's talk about that.
He probably welcomed that diversion.
Yeah. That was a city council meeting where nothing else was going on. Let's talk about the solar eclipse. We've got time on our hands.
Yeah. That was a good one.
You know, the thing about this... Okay, so everybody and their brother is selling T-shirts. Everybody's trying to cash in on it. So it would be easy to say... You know, it's kind of like a business conspiracy, you know, like people are saying, here's our chance to make a quick buck. I think everybody is saying, here's our chance to make a quick buck, but that seems to be not what started it. That seems to be people jumping on the bandwagon. You know, it seemed, unless somebody can tell me otherwise, it seemed like this whole thing got started by the government, you know, by the people in the emergency management. And I don't know, it's like a big deal about nothing.
The problem with this event, on the whole, is, number one, it doesn't have an anticipation factor. Right. And what I mean by that is, that day, you're not going to wake up saying, oh, an hour, two, it just doesn't have that. It's not like that. And the event itself lasts 4 minutes.
Right.
It's not something you would buy a ticket to. It's not something like that.
Right.
And it's not even something when it's over that has a, boy, you know, I was there.
Yeah, there's no residual effect.
Nothing.
When it's over, it's over.
That's what I don't understand what it does. I mean, if I took a nap during it, I don't think I would be heartbroken for the rest of my life.
Right. I mean, if you go to a concert, I mean, you can talk about it.
It builds up.
Home.
Build it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, talk about it. As you're driving to it, you talk about it when you're driving home. You get up the next day and you're talking about, it was the best concert you ever went to. I mean, I guess this will be the best eclipse you've ever gone to, but...
Man, it got really dark last night, didn't it?
But it's my understanding, again, just to be clear about this, if it is cloudy, you're not going to see anything much. Right. And it's April showers. That's the time of year, by the way. And number two, it doesn't turn dark. It's not like 8 o'clock at night. What happens is it just dims a little bit.
Right.
And if you're looking directly at the sun through these glasses, you'll see a darkness over the sun, but it doesn't turn pitch black.
Right.
Like, you don't have to drive with your headlights.
Right.
Yeah.
So, now, here's a thought I actually had. It would cost money, and I refuse to financially support this event, but I thought it would be kind of cool to buy as many different of these t-shirts that are on the market. Like, you'd have your t-shirt from LaRue, and you'd have your t-shirt from Lawrence Orchards, and you'd have, and it would be really cool to have this big collection of this non-event.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying.
But I hate to have to pay all the money to get those t-shirts.
Well, you know, and I hate to go back to the groundhog on this one, but if anybody's curious, I always felt the groundhog all over, and I'm not just talking about Marion, Ohio, just all over, was anticlimactic in that, did it or did it not? That's why I like the idea that we have somebody in the suit who will unmask. I think that's something to talk about. I don't know what you do with this thing. I don't know what you do with this eclipse.
So why do people get all excited or worked up or involved in all these non-events? They're non-events that we make them into events, like Groundhog Day and solar eclipse. What's the attraction to people?
I don't know, and I honestly wouldn't know what our event would be, why it would be attractive if it wasn't the mystery of who's in the suit. That's a mystery. People sell mystery novels. There's mystery movies. People love a good mystery. How long in this country did we want to know who Deep Throat was during the Watergate scandal? It was a great mystery. People would take, I think it's this person, I think it's that person. What is the payoff to these events? It's a mystery on who's going to win the game. It's a mystery on who's going to win the match. Where is the payoff here?
How about this mystery? Who shot JR?
And for a long time, I think the second most watched thing in television history.
Have you ever heard of that, Matt?
No.
Okay.
Who is JR?
Well, there was a television series in the early 1980s called Dallas, which it was kind of ingenious because it wouldn't have been such a big deal, but Dallas, I think, at that time was either the number one or two show on television. So they took the main character on Dallas, which was a guy named JR, and they shot him at the end of the season. And television used to have seasons then. They'd stop shooting new episodes in May, and they wouldn't come back till September.
Right, so you had to wait all summer for the new season to start.
To find out. And anticipation built for, 12 weeks. So by the time they came back, and because they were the number one or two show in the country at that time anyway, it was one of the most watched things in television history.
Yeah, because all summer long you could speculate on who shot JR, because the show was such that it could have been any one of half a dozen people. And so, and when they started the new season out and they were going to have that episode where they were going to reveal it, people were actually having Who Shot JR parties, where you'd go to a bar with 20 people and watch it on the big screen, or people were having parties in their house, come on over and watch the episode of Who Shot JR. I mean, it was a big deal.
Now, you know what the adjunct to this is? This is just going to show you the times. The network, to keep this a secret, because they did have to shoot it weeks before the actual show would air, they did not even tell the crew, so how do you do that? Who's filming it? What they did was they had almost everybody in the cast film a scene shooting him. So until that night, they didn't know which one they were going to put in there, who shot him. But here is the true adjunct to this whole thing. Most people have no idea who it was. Can't remember who did it anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was anticlimactic because a lot of people watched it, so it certainly was climactic. But it's interesting, the question was more important than the answer. People to this day who did watch it usually don't remember who it was.
No. If I remember correctly, I believe it was an actress.
It was a female, I do, yeah.
Who was like somebody's daughter on the show or something. She wasn't like the main.
No. But you think we'd remember.
Right.
The answer
right.
to this big question. We remember the question.
Right.
But I think it's because the question lived for 12 weeks. The answer was one night.
Right.
interesting.
Yeah.
That's why I truly believe not telling anybody about the groundhog. Not that I can't, not that I don't think I can't trust anybody around here, but I think the truth of the matter is, I think the less people that know, the more anticipation there is.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Scott has not told anybody.
Truthfully.
Right.
Nobody knows but me and that person.
Right.
And I think it's fascinating to guess. I think guessing games are fascinating. I just think they're interesting. I think people did it with Who Shot JR. I think people do it with football games and basketball games and boxing matches.
Yep. So, are you going to buy into any of the
no
t-shirts?
No. I just think that that's a funny event. I don't understand it, really.
It's getting a lot of hype. And, you know, part of the hype is there's not going to be another total eclipse in Ohio until, like, 2444 or something like that. Or,
if you didn't tell people, would they find out on their own?
I don't think so.
And that's usually the test.
Yeah. Yeah, because I really don't think, if you didn't tell people, then probably nobody would even know about it.
Exactly.
And what you could do, if you didn't tell anybody, but, you know, like the week before, if you just had a little news release, you know, Monday afternoon, such and such, there will be a total eclipse of the sun. You're cautioned not to look directly at it, wear eye protection, and just leave it at that. Nothing would happen.
You know, it needs a mystery. It needs a hook. It needs something.
Right.
There's still time.
Right.
I don't know what you could do.
Who knows?
How could you build this up?
I mean, I think anything that happens in space that usually doesn't happen in space, people are interested about, especially when you can see it from here and not have to, like, I don't know, just get them, like, there are pictures of Mars, but it just kind of looks like a desert, so nobody really cares.
Well, you know, I mean, I agree with when it happens in space, you know, people are interested in it, but how many times did the International Space Station fly over and they tell you you can see it from this time to this time at night? And I don't know, there's probably 30, 40 times when I heard on the news that I could see the International Space Station. And one night I went out and, well, I saw it moving across the sky, and, well, that was nice, and went on about my business.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, you know, we've had partial eclipses. We've had partial solar eclipses. We've had partial lunar eclipses. And, you know, if I wasn't doing anything, then I would, you know, look at it. And, you know, that's kind of nice. But, you know, we've had ones I never watch.
I think you'd almost have to turn it into an event. You would have to, I don't know, add something to it. Because I really don't know, just going out in your front yard. Okay. And if it's such a big thing that everybody's seen, how are you even going to compare it? I mean, well, here's what I saw. Okay.
Right.
There's not even a talking point to it.
Right. We can't have five guests come in and tell us their experience because everybody saw the same thing.
Right. Anticipation. It has no anticipation factor is the problem, and I also don't think it has any residual. Right. I don't think the next day everybody's going to be, oh, that was great.
So it'll be interesting to see what really happens on that day. And the next day, the talk might be
that, yeah.
It was
the bomb it was or the right. Big deal it was.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, I think that'll probably be bigger than the eclipse itself.
Right. And I don't remember exactly which. I think it was the Richmond, Indiana. I mean, they have events going on the entire weekend. You know, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. For something that's going to happen 4 minutes.
See, clearly that's a money-making scheme.
It is a money-making scheme.
Yeah.
You got to make money somehow.
Yep.
So that's your answer to that.
Well, I mean, I don't know what else you want them to do. Like, I mean, the opportunity is there to make money for the city, and then all of a sudden you're just going to not do it? Since when would that happen?
What's the difference between making money that particular weekend or creating your own event that you could do every year and making money?
The difference is, like, well, this doesn't happen every year. It happens, like, once every, I don't know, forever. Like, it doesn't happen very often.
So LaRue is selling T-shirts at $15, mm-hmm. Okay? So they've got a certain amount of cost in that. How many shirts do you have printed up to sell? How many shirts do you have to sell to make it worthwhile? How much money are you really going to raise? And what if you print up 250 t-shirts and you only sell 14 of them? Now you've spent more money on the t-shirts than you've taken in selling them.
Herein lies the problem.
I mean, yeah, but like, I mean, like, that's how it works. I could argue the same concept for you and like porta potties, I guess. What are you gonna do if you purchased like, I don't know, 100 porta potties and you were only ever renting out like 10 at a time?
We have a market every single day of the year.
Yeah, people aren't gonna stop doing that.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, just
trust
like
me, they're not going to.
Yeah.
But you know, this eclipse.
I mean, that's just. Day. I did. That's how. I mean, that's
like
how.
Funeral homes ain't going out of business.
No.
That's just
not
how
a risky business.
That's just how business works.
Okay, so if it goes south,
I think there's a fair chance it'll probably go south.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's one of those gimmicky things where we're saying it's going to go south, it's going to go south, it's going to go south, and we're going to talk about it so much that will be why it will go north.
So next week you'll be able to go to the LaRue Community Center and get the t-shirts for $1.
Exactly. What would you do with them after?
Put them in a garage sale.
You'd have to. It's very strange.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They seem to think they can make money off of it, apparently.
And, you know, that is the interesting thing about it. You know, a community like LaRue, what is their motivation? They think they can make money off of it. They think they can capitalize on, you know, hey, this opportunity's coming. Let's do.
Well, see, that was the conversation we were having prior to the show. Was Matt said that everything about finances, everything has a financial end game, or what?
Oh yeah, yeah. Everything is out for financial growth in the end. Like even like schools, like they like to get people who don't go to that school zone, like school area, because they get paid more to take people who aren't in your school district. Everything at the end of the day comes back to money. It's all how you make the money out of it.
See, I think that's awful jaded. I don't think that's true.
I
think if that were true, that society would be in a bad place, because I think you wouldn't have homeless shelters. I think you wouldn't have clothes pantries. I think you wouldn't have food pantries. I think you wouldn't have houses being built for people in lower economic situations. I don't think that's true. I don't think you'd have public transportation that was discounted. Food cards.
There is a certain aspect of it's all about the money, but again, like you were pointing out, there's a certain amount of stuff that is done. It's done for a reason other than money, you know. But unfortunately, so many things are money driven.
I mean, also a lot of those things are like donations, and donations are tax write-offs, I believe. So then they just ain't got to pay their taxes. Back to money.
Well, most of the time when people donate things, it's not because of the tax.
Well, I mean,
it's not because of
I would
tax
say,
reasons.
Yeah, because, I mean, you would have to donate something that's worth quite a bit to make it worth your time.
Yeah, I mean, what you have to donate versus how much it's going to save you on your taxes is not really that much. You know, you have to donate a lot to get a small amount deduction from the tax that you had to pay. So that's not the driving force for most people, you know, donating.
No, I think the driving force for most people is to show their money, not make their money. And I think that's why most people end up in the hole. You know, because buying a very expensive car when you could buy an affordable car doesn't make you any money. But they do it. How many people drive these gigantic, brand new trucks? Now, that hurts you in the gas department. That hurts you in the payment for the truck. Why are you doing that? It's not making you any money. It's costing you money.
Well, I mean, I assume a lot of the people who buy these trucks use the trucks for things.
No, like, no. So like, they will keep that thing as clean. You ask them to haul something for you, it ain't happening. Could you scratch that thing?
Just like, I mean, like, my dad has a truck. He uses it to haul things. Like, my grandparents and my uncle both have trucks. They use it to haul things. Like, there was a dude at Kroger who showed up in, like, a brand new 2024, like, four-door extended cab, red, like, I don't know, something or another, like, Ford something or another. And I was like, man, that's a really nice truck. And then he told me that he was a farmer, and he used it to pull stuff around the farm. I was like, man, you spend a lot of money on a truck you're going to use to pull stuff around the farm with.
Those big, fancy, expensive, nice-looking pickup trucks, that, what you're talking about, is the exception to the rule. The vast majority of them are bought for show, and don't you dare put anything in the bed of that truck.
Matter of fact, a lot of those people will have old trucks that they have to put move stuff around.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
The big houses, you could say the same thing about that. If you don't have the need for all these rooms, why do you have them?
Oh, well,
for show.
No,
show.
I don't even know about that. I don't know why. It just doesn't make any sense to me for, like, a person who has, like, four people living in their house to own a 12-bedroom house with, like, eight baths. It's just, why? What's
show,
the point?
Show.
Absolutely.
Nobody's going to come stay in those rooms.
And that costs you money.
Right. But, boy,
doesn't make any money.
Boy, it makes you look good from the outside when the people are driving by looking at that big house.
Buying dinner for people. Taking people places. But where's the financial gain in that?
Well, I mean, I think if you're doing those, I mean, financial gain in terms of, like, nothing for them, but, I mean, like, the other person might have just not come if you didn't pay for them, in which case, that's, I mean, finances.
Now, I will say that buying dinner for somebody or taking someone to dinner is slightly different than just having a big house in that there can be...
There's an ulterior motive still.
There can be reasons why people will do that. With it, you know, and not having motives other than just wanting to take somebody out.
Now, he said there is always an ulterior motive.
There doesn't. I say probably most of the time there is, but not always. Not always.
I mean, what? I don't believe it. If you do something for
I'll never buy you dinner, Matt. Because you will be suspicious.
What do you want? What's he want?
Yeah, you're gonna the whole time we're having dinner, you're gonna be thinking, what's his motive? What's his motive? And I don't have a motive.
Yeah, no, so, what's the goal? What does he stand to gain out of this?
So I'll never buy you dinner.
There you go. I don't think you have a motive.
It'll never be a trap.
You can buy me dinner anytime. But the point is a good amount of people do. I think that's situational, though. I think what you're saying is more situational.
Right. Will you buy me dinner, Matt? Would you buy me dinner?
I suppose.
Do you want something in return?
No.
There you go.
I mean, he asked me to buy him dinner, though, so, like, I mean...
Oh, so that's it. Okay.
I mean, that's fine.
If I'd never said anything, would the thought ever cross your mind to buy me dinner or to buy Scott dinner? Okay.
But you know what? This is an interesting thing. Now, what is the etiquette when it comes to picking up a check? Now, I think that there are two things I don't like about that. Number one, I hate when people fight about it. Listen, if you're the first one who went in and got it, I hate that whole thing. People will try to rip the check out of your hand. No, here's the money. They'll try to put the money in your hand. Just take the meal. Try to do something later on. Let's not have this argument in the restaurant. Just stop that. And number two, I don't like the idea of, why are you doing that? Now, see, that is an ulterior motive to me because you made a scene. You didn't go in with this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I got it. You know, and everybody see, and all of a sudden, immediately, it becomes that thing. Oh, you don't have to do that. Why do you do, oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know?
Yeah, and I agree. Would never fight over a bill. If I have intentions of buying somebody a meal, and if I, first of all, I'm going to be discreet about it.
That's it.
You know,
walk up to the register.
Right. Yeah. Or I'm going to just casually say something to the server at a time when not everybody's like staring at you.
There you go.
And, you know, just one check, you know, something like that. If somebody says no, you don't have to do it, I don't want to sit there and have that argument Oh, no, no, I insist. And, oh, no, you're right. So,
because then it becomes a thing.
Right. So if somebody protests, that's fine. Let's go.
You know, I know somebody. I used to go out to eat in like family events. Not my family, but it could happen in my family, but just didn't. When there would be family events, one person would always buy the meal. Now, I don't know if there was a motive there. I can't imagine. Certainly not personally to me. I don't think there was a motive there, but there were a lot of people. But at what point does it become? If you do it every single time, at what point does it become that?
I think, me personally, I think if you do it every single time, there's a motive there. Because, I mean, you're trying to say something. You're trying to establish something. You want something out of it. Because, you know, as many times as I, you know, have paid for a meal for somebody else, I would not do it every single time, because then you gotta, what's the motive here?
That's what I wonder.
Yeah, exactly. Have you had anybody buy you a meal, Matt?
I probably have, yeah.
Okay. Did you wonder what their motive was?
Well, you know, like, my parents buy me food because they're my parents. That one's a pretty simple motive.
I don't think there's a motive there. No motive there.
There's an obligation there.
Yeah.
They're probably wanting to cut those ties.
I don't know. I think the whole thing is fascinating, but I think you know who's doing it for show. I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't think the people realize they get it, it's for show, but
yeah.
I think an observer can see that.
I think you're right.
I don't know. Not often does somebody do something for no reason to help somebody out. It just doesn't happen
very often. Well, here we go again with these absolutes.
Oh, boy.
I said it just doesn't happen very often, okay? I didn't say it just doesn't happen. It's just not very often. It's a rare thing. So, like, when somebody does something for no gain, it just doesn't come off right, because there's usually a gain for people to do things.
So you think there's always a motive, and the motive is a gain of some sort?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I disagree with you.
Why isn't it just paying it back?
Right.
Somebody helped you, you're going to help them.
Well, I mean, at that point, I feel like it's kind of like a thing you owe to yourself, because you feel like you owe that person.
No, they're dead.
What? Dead?
Yeah. Somebody helps you, they die. You help somebody else, you die. That's the span of life.
You didn't know. I didn't know you said that. I didn't hear nothing about death. I just heard somebody helps you, you help them. And I was like, yeah. That's. I mean, at that point, the motive is you fell, you owe them, kind of thing.
Well, interesting.
I don't know. I think that's insane, though. All I'm saying is, let's say somebody knows how to fix cars. Now, they teach somebody how to fix cars. They die. That person teaches the next generation how to fix cars. I don't think they're doing that for their gain.
Right.
I think they're doing that because somebody did that for them for no gain.
Right. You know, if somebody does something for you for no gain, but you don't have anything you can do for them, but you have something you can do for somebody else, it's kind of like, well, then you do it for somebody else because person A over here did something for you. So there's no gain in there for you, but out of the recognition of the fact that somebody did something for you, you want to do something for somebody else.
Circle of life.
Right.
It sounds to me like you got paid to do something for the other person, but you didn't really get paid. It was just like a favor from the first person.
Oh,
Lord.
Well, tell you what, we're out of time. We'll maybe continue this conversation at another time. This is Pastor Craig for What's Happening, Marion. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Matt. And
leave the mics on so they can hear what we're talking about during the break.
And we'll be back in 10 minutes for the Exchange Club. Yay. See you then.
I think that's bad. The awards are nice. I mean, it'd be nice if I got one. But I was up four times, so I was a bridesmaid, never a bride.